Well, it's been an honor to be in this place to be involved. I remember some years ago, somebody came here and came back, and they had led worship here, and they said they actually didn't know they played on the worship team. They let me play on the worship team. I remember saying, "Were you on the stage?" They said yes, and a bunch of people said, "What was it like?" Now, we've been doing Kansas City for years, but Toronto to everybody was different. It was when you step into the place, your legs turn to jello. You'll fall over, you'll bark like a dog or scream like a chicken. Or, you know, it's just like, wow, you went in there and you came out alive. Because I have a dear friend of mine, Sam Storms, who at one point in time was the professor of theology at Wheaton. He is one of my best friends, my next door neighbor. And his first time here, there's a great picture of Sam, they brought it back, of him under a chair with two chairs falling on top of him, one leg ripped up like this with a drunken look on his face. You need to understand, professor of theology at Wheaton, they don't look like that often. And so we all had these, what, Toronto. Ooh. And then to actually to come and to... I just want to say to you, thank you for opening up your door. Thank you for opening up your hearts. Thank you for opening up friendship and love. Because my role here could have been seen as competitive. It could have been seen as intrusive, coming from the outside, trying to bring in some different kind of something. It could have been looked at in all sorts of different ways. And you know how it is, how you look at something at the beginning is often how you, the fruit of it you see in the end results. When I stepped in here, I was greeted with warmth and acceptance and hospitality. And it was, what is on your heart and how can we help you fill that, which made my role here so much easier. So Steve and Sandra, thank you for doing that. John and Carol were a big part of that also. Thank you for opening up your home to me again and again and again. Yeah. Ben and Sarah have done the same in opening up their monstrous home. They have a beautiful little apartment over. It's great. I love you guys. You are my English-Canadian sons and daughters. So where does one go from here? Was praying about, well, obviously before I come, just, okay, Lord, what do you have? And this is what I felt. I wrote it all down. It's nicely typed up on four pages. With yellow highlights, if you look close, you can actually see yellow highlights on there of things that I want to highlight. And during worship, I felt the Lord said, I want you to prophesy that and speak on something else. I turned to Ben and I said, I think everything's changed. I think I'm supposed to prophesy this word and not make it. And so, John, I know that you and Patricia here, you have a new role, you have a new place, new authority, new influence, etc. So with your permission, I'd like to speak what I think the Lord is saying. I was going to preach it. I think he wants me to do it prophetically. And it might take more than just a 30-second prophecy. It might be a few minutes because I'm looking at four pages here, but this is, I knew what was on my heart to do it, but I felt he say to prophesy it and to highlight something else that he wants to do. So this is about it's about the Tabernacle of David. The Tabernacle of David is not a prayer movement. Tabernacle of David is not a worship movement. That quieted the house. Sorry. I just happened to go back and read all the scriptures. God looked, when Saul fell, God looked for a man after God's own heart. This is what I felt the Lord wanted to say here. He was looking for a man after God's own heart. That was not... after, being an ex-athlete, after was always you run after the ball, you run after the man with the ball, you run after. That's not the word after. It is to take after. It's a son who takes after his father. So God's looking for a man after God's heart, not looking for a person running after God, looking for a person at rest because he knows and takes after God's own heart. And to that one, God... felt that he could give a revelation that no one else had. He entrusted to David the concept of what it would be tabernacling with God, which then became known as the Tabernacle of David. Old Testament, before David, you had Tabernacle in the Wilderness, Tabernacle of Moses, different setup. You had three tiers, outer court, inner court, you know, holy holies, you know it all. Solomon's Temple, yet to come, the same kind of thing. And yet, what we have in the middle of all this is David, who comes along and God gives him a place of kingship for 7 years over just Judah. And then suddenly it is now open for him to take over as king over all 12 tribes. And the first thing David wants to do is to return the Ark of the Covenant or the presence of God, because it wasn't sought after in Saul's time. Now, this is not to say that the presence of God wasn't sought after during your time here. I just want to make that crystal clear. So that's okay. Sure. That has nothing to do with it. It's how God, what God used to position to go after David's heart. Okay? And so in bringing it back, he puts it on a cart, and we know it's driven by oxen. Wrong way. The world's way of trying to produce the presence of God in the midst of where you are creates death. Uzziah reaches up to grab it, and he's killed. He's slain immediately. And God goes, and David goes, whoa, I'm so angry. Why isn't God moving? Because my heart is for the presence of God, and yet the minute I start to go after it, it brings death. So what do I have to do? And then in 1 Chronicles chapters 13 and 14, we read that David now is going after the Philistines. The first time David goes after the Philistines in chapter 14, it says he sought those around him to see, does it look seem like a good idea? They all said yes. And then his next thing is very interesting. He goes, well, that's good, because if the Lord's with us, we will blank. There was no seeking God. It was just those around him. And so David, in that point, there's a death. He finally realizes, okay, he goes back to God. Okay, now what do I do, God? Now he seeks the Lord, and the Lord says, go up against the Philistines. I will be with you. And he tells him exactly what to do. David goes into battle on chapter 14. Boom. Philistines lose. Everything is great. Immediately thereafter, another scenario just like that one comes up. David could have just gone and said, okay, let's see what happened. Philistines come. We go up after them. God said to go. We'll do exactly what we did last time. This is what I feel the Lord wants to say. I wish your wife were here. I feel like the Lord is saying, don't do exactly what God said to do last time. Okay? The second time David went to seek the Lord, first he didn't seek him, Uzziah dies. Second time he seeks the Lord tells him exactly what to do. The same circumstance comes up. He doesn't go back and reach into his vault, you know, here's my old sermons, I'm going to do this one. He goes and seeks the Lord again, and the Lord says, do not go up against the Philistines. Matter of fact, I want you to go around, and you're going to do crazy things and make some crazy noise, and they're going to slay each other, and it's going to be awesome, and you're going to get the victory. And I feel that the Lord is saying that there are, and I was a part of Kansas City. I oversaw the worship when it started. Misty Edwards was a timid little girl who stayed in the night watch. I had to pull her out on my team, and I had to point to her and make her sing. And God did, she just went, shoom, became this incredible songwriter. That's not, I didn't make anything with her. All I did was give her space. And there's a not repeating, taking the good of what God has done there and done around the world. But God has something unique for Toronto, for a house of prayer, that is not reaching back into an old playbook. And at the end of chapter 14, David has another victory, and now he's bringing the Ark of the Covenant back on the shoulders of Levites. The presence of God is resting now on human beings. It's being brought by lovers and worshipers into the midst in a greater way, and it's an incredible moment. And then in the New Testament, there's this huge fight about circumcision, and everybody gets up and they've got their own two cents. And they go, well, look, here we get saved. We have to do this because this is what we did here. And James gets up and he says, no. He said, this is the fulfillment of the tabernacle of David. And I remember looking and reading going, whoa, Acts 15, you can read it. Goes, wait, this is the fulfillment of the tabernacle of David? I'm looking for the words worship, team, singing, prayer, ministry. There's nothing there. All I see is tabernacle of David, circumcision. I'm going, I don't know if I like where this is headed. And it's like, no. What it is, when the presence of God comes to tabernacle, James gets up and says this. It's the fulfillment, because what is the tabernacle of David? It's the place where God went into the midst of the building, and for the first time, there was a cloak that covered the Ark of the Covenant, and no one ever saw it. They backed into it. You can read all about it. It's in Numbers in a couple of places. They backed into it and covered it so that no one ever looked upon it. Can you imagine when David says, this is what I want to do. I want to get a building. I want to put the Ark of the Covenant in the middle and take off the cover. Then we're all going to worship. They looked at him and went, you idiot. The high priest, don't you know? This is the law. This is how we do it here in our church. The high priest, once a year, goes in with little dangles on the bottom of his clothes, with a rope on his foot. And if he doesn't sanctify himself purely, we hear it and we pull him out, because that means he's dead. And you want to put it in the middle of the room for everyone to look at. And David goes, yeah, I'm a man after God's own heart. You see, I know that that's what God wants. He wants to be in the middle of human beings. He wants to be made available. That's what the tabernacle of David is. The availability of God allows us to worship. The availability of God allows us to pray. Okay? So the movement of God on the tabernacle of David was God's available for everyone, which is what James got thus says when he gets up. He gets up and he says, listen, brethren, it's not about this or that. It's removing every obstacle so that the whole world would know who he is. That's the tabernacle of David. And when we talk about a prayer movement and what God is doing here, that's the uniqueness. And that's what I want to speak that over you, to be excited about what God is doing here. Not looking at, if it becomes a works-oriented thing, God bless you, may he take you out of it quickly. Okay? No, seriously. I'm done working. I'm going to rest the rest of my life. I work more now than I ever did. But I rest more now than I ever have. Because here's the thing. The tabernacle of David started after 7 years as king over Judah. He was king for a total of 40 years. The tabernacle of David then, if you just subtract those 7 years when it wasn't going, how many years is that? Yeah, the math is good. The year's 33. Is there any other way that God came to the earth to talk about 33 years when he's available for all mankind? Bingo. The tabernacle of David is a type, and it's a shadow of what we are supposed to be expressing, which is to make him available by our affection, by our kindness, by our greatness, by our goodness, by unveiling his heart, by showing this Father's goodness, by showing what Jesus did on the cross. That's what we're toward, as opposed to gearing more hours for this or that. Let him tabernacle here in this place, because it's going to be a different expression of God's tabernacling. It's not going to be a replacement of what has been. It's going to be an addition of what he is going to do. And here's what it's going to release. It's going to release, some of you are going back, I remember when I didn't mind waiting in line for 2 hours because I knew God was going to show up. God's, that spirit is returning. It's a spirit of, I will do anything again for whatever God has in store for us here. That spirit is returning. God had to establish a family, and it's taken time. And it's been awesome. But I tell you, you're right, 2012 is going, there's a shift coming. And you know what? People get up and they stand and go, there's a shift coming, there's going to be a change. I want to take out my 30-odd six. And I want to take them away, because that would do it. Or I can grab my 44 Magnum and really do it. Or my 12 gauge. You know, it's just like, of course there's a shift. Of course there's a, things are changing. But you understand, I've just come back here. These guys are in a different place. I'm looking at them spiritually. They're in a different place. And I can see the prince is now a king. And I mean that in the most gracious of way. as a couple. And God's they brought in some new folk, and you're going, oh, whoa, wow, this is great. I don't know. This is wonderful. I hope. Can I tell you something? This is great. They are awesome. They are God ordained. They're supposed to be here, and the tabernacling that God wants to do here is not something old is not going. It's something added that's coming that God is doing such a great thing with. So I want to bless you with that aspect of the presence of God, Lord. I pray that the revelation of access to your throne would be available to everyone who walks through that door. That, Lord, that what maybe in the past, for whatever way that we haven't thought about somebody coming in and going, oh my gosh, that's a different expression. I don't know if I am welcome. Lord, that a spirit of the Father's welcome would be at the front door, and that everyone who walks in here would know that you are available to all mankind. That's your heart. And that every prayer and every song that is offered up would go to an increasing of your kingdom through Catch the Fire and what you're doing through this ministry. So blessing, blessing, blessing. Just say that with me. Blessing, blessing, blessing over this area, this place, this community of churches. Let it be in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So that was... what time is it? I won't look at that clock because that's an hour ahead. I'm going to make this. I know somebody go, well, that. Please say that was the sermon. It's okay. Okay. 42 said more, and 1,217 didn't. No. I'm just going to go what I heard the Lord say, and I taught junior high for 7 years. I had 43 or 45, depending on the class, minutes to get everything through, and I can do things a whole lot faster than that. So I understand what it's like to sit there and to hear, oh, this is great, and we'll talk about this thing, and oh, this is great, and we're going to have an offering, this is great, and people are going to say nice things about Chris, and then Chris is going to give a long prophetic word, and then he's going to preach. Honey? How's the, should we go? Didn't you put something in the oven? No? Well, I think you did. Let's go. So, anyway. I was praying during worship. As we started, I was saying, Lord, I'm feeling uneasy. I feel like something was going on. What's going on? And he said one word to me, one little word, and I'll tell you exactly what he said, because a little kid comes up here like this and said, and what's the Lord's been showing you? Culture of honor. That's exactly what the Lord said to me when I was in the middle of worship. He said, I want you to talk about honor and about community because of what I'm going to do, they need each other. Okay? So it doesn't have to be long. You know, truth, sometimes we drag it out so far, it thins it. So... I hope it's not dragged out, or as they say down in Tennessee, drug out. John 17:21, and it's, I don't know about you, I look at the word commandment, I give you a commandment. There's not many commandments in the New Testament. We have one, though. As Jesus says, actually it's in 15, I'm going to 17, John 15:12, it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is my commandment. I got a really good idea, guys. What do you say we like each other more? Well, that's just a great idea, Jesus. Thank you so much. Did you hear Jesus' idea? No, what do you say? He thinks we should like each other more. Wow, that's cool. No, this is what I command you. Verse 20 and 17, it says, I don't pray for these alone, but also for those in Toronto who will one day believe on their word. It does say that. It actually, if you put a number of those letters together, it spells Toronto. That they all may be one, that you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Access. That the world will see and have access to God. How will they have access to God? By the way that you love each other. I tell you, 20 years ago, I wanted to be doing and doing things that I'm doing now. And the Lord told me 20 years ago, he said, I'm waiting till you can. I went, what do you mean till I can? And then I saw my friend fall here, and I saw my friend fall here, and I saw a friend fall here. It's kind of like, okay, I'm done. I don't want to do what I'm not supposed to do, and I don't want to do what I'm supposed to do at the time I'm not supposed to do it. So for me, that was very important. For this place right now, this place has been, people come from all around, and after a while you can just kind of show up because somebody will be here from the outside or some music thing or something's going on, and you can just come now. It's the kind of place where you can come and you can hide and not be known. Congratulations. Remember when churches, I was a part of a church, we started out in the living room. We knew everything about everybody. Okay? Now, not to say the churches should be down to 7 people. But what I'm saying is, if there's not that kind of a group around you, and this is only a place that you function on Sunday morning to come to, then God's got something to speak to you, because he's about ready to do something unique. And it's don't hold on for the ride. Hold on to each other in the ride. Community has to be spontaneous. It's got to be intentional. It's got to be forgiving. It's got to be loving. It's got to be approachable. And it's got to be honest. It's got to be spontaneous. And also, it has to be intentional. How does that work? How can I be intentional about something and be spontaneous? I'll tell you. I call you up and say, hey, what are you doing tonight? Watching the football game Sunday night? NFL game. Yeah. Yeah. Or Monday. Or both. Really. I have got chips, French onion dip, and your favorite gallon jug of orange juice. What do you think? Now, you're sitting at home going, gosh, I'm done with Sunday. I talked to people already today. Golly, what a stretch. But he's got orange juice, and I like dip. Someone on one is intentional, the other end, they're spontaneous. I've got to be I have to be available for when God wants to connect me with people. My life is not to be intentionally non-spontaneous. It's not about that. It's about being open to the God's kingdom expressing to me and coming to me through people, some that are just different than I am. Yeah, whoa, it's right. It's number one. I see you're going, number one, no. Yes, come on. This community has to have, number one, an atmosphere of honor. This little kid said, we have to have a culture of honor, an atmosphere of honor. And what does that look like? Well, kind of like when someone's talking up front, that we're all quiet and we respect him. Wow. Yeah. I'll be honest. I'm an outsider now. This is my last time. You don't have to like me anymore. But I have to struggle when someone begins to speak here, because for a while, it takes a while before people stop talking. I love community. And so I've just said where I've passed, I said, keep going. Don't stop talking. Love each other. Do it out there. But because something's happening, and somebody, I want to respect that person, that guy, that gal. And so there's a culture of honor. We open doors for people. We say thank you. We tell people, wow, you look great today. Have you lost weight? Now, here's the thing. If they've lost weight and you know you can tell that they have, tell them. Thank you. Well, I'm not saying that, but yeah. Wow, Chris, you used to be so much fatter than you used to be. You're not as fat as you used to be. That's not quite, but I appreciate that. But, you know, my gosh, What happened? You used to be so fat. Do you ever have an uncle that used to carry candy in his pocket? One of those guys? Uncle John, how you doing? Hi, Uncle John. Oh, yeah, here. Thank you. You just want to be around the... Carry candy in your pocket. Carry honor. Have it always available for when you come in here. When I go to Kansas, or when I live in Grace, we go to Grace Center in I don't even know where I live anymore, Nashville, Tennessee. And so there's two services, 8:30, 10:45. First service ends at 10. Second service starts at 10:45. I get there just before the first service ends. I go to the second service, but my favorite time of the whole day is the 45 minutes in between where I get to tell people why I love them. I love worship. Been doing it since I got saved in 73, every day. It's been a part of my life. And I love the people, oh, don't you love the worship? I do. But I love to watch God come alive in someone because I tell them something that I see about them or that I appreciate about them. And I just call it the, I love you because. Dot, dot, dot. I love you because. And then you have to articulate why you appreciate them. As opposed to, bro, it's good to see you. It's great to see you too. Hope he doesn't really talk to me. Great. God bless you. I've gotten so many, good to see you, as they're walking away. God bless you. Bless you. Don't you love that? It's God bless you. You, you, yes. Bye, 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 bye. Jesus, love, love, love you, 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 you. Be free with it, model it, put it in the system here. Make it a part of your services, make it a part of your small groups, make it a part of your large groups, single out people, tell them, point them out, have them stand, tell you why you love them, have people over, just have them come over for dinner. Have one or two couples over for dinner and sit there and just go around the circle. Everyone's going to tell you why you are so special. Find a way to implement it and put it into your life and put it into your lifestyle. You will need it. You will. Encouragement is the appropriation of courage that is put into someone. Okay. Number two. Loving is not consist of gazing into each other's eyes. I appreciate that. But if you're walking together and you're gazing into each other's eyes, you both go off the cliff. Okay? So it's looking together in the same direction. Being unique of who you are. When I'm up here, when I first came, I go, well, there's Jay. I mean, he's what, 6'14", tall, and I forgot. But he's just this guy, and he does what Jay does. And then there's Nicole, and then there's Ben, and there's all sorts of wonderful worship people here, just highlighting those that were up here. And it's like, okay, Nicole, you can't be Ben. Ben, stop. Don't do that. You be Ben.
Well, how do I be Ben?
Just be Ben. Be loved. Be free. Be who you are. Number two, you need to understand this one. Oh, understand boundaries. There's an old saying that says, good fences make good neighbors. Now, some of you are going, oh, yeah, this is good. He's telling me to put up fences. No, 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 no. I'm telling you that understanding someone else's boundaries is very, very wise and helpful. I'm single. My friend gets married, and I want to do what we used to do on Friday and Saturday nights. Go here, Chris, I can't do it. Oh, man. Man, you're no friend. Oh, life's different now. Yeah, life's different. Yeah, it's all about her, isn't it? Well, actually, yeah, it's kind of is. And then I get married. So, oh, man, I understand. And then they start having babies. It's kind of like, oh, what are you doing on Thursday night? Changing diapers. What do you think I'm doing? It's a weeknight. I'm not going. Oh, come on, man. I'm not seeing the boundaries that they have in their life. I need to see and understand where others are at and the season that they're in. Be sensitive to their season in a community setting and not put expectations of relationship on people that either they had at a former time or that I desire for them now. Does that make sense? Okay. If you will catch that, you will save yourself bundle of heartache. You really will, because you will experience someone giving out for a particular length of time, but they're doing it because they love you, but in their own life they can't really appropriate all the time that you want to give. So at some point in time they end the relationship to save themselves. And you take it as rejection, you take it as anger, and then you move on to the next place because they don't love you like they should. Anybody ever do that? So understanding where people are at and understanding where they are in their life and the boundaries and the fences that they've had to put up so that they could now be a better husband, so that they could now be a better father, be a better wife, be a better friend, be a better whatever, employee. And so I need to understand, I need to be aware of and ask God, okay, and I had to do that. I said, God, okay, let's get this Chris first thing out of my head. Okay, I need to understand where people are at, and the Lord has been so gracious, and He helps me, and He saved me so many situations where I could have gone down into a road of rejection or anger because He showed me where people are at and how much they needed to have that boundary there. Good. Number three, recognizing the entrance of political spirits. Anytime you have a change in leadership, you have the potential of having to deal with political spirits. They're always waiting. They're always waiting for any kind of a shift in leadership or a change within a group, or whatever's going on. You see it during election time. During election time, you're going to have a change. What is it? It's a political spirit. Well, it has to be in politics, but not in love and community. And it's always a real quiet one. It's not one of those, yeah! Yeah, I got a political spirit! Yeah, people don't shout that out, usually. It's pretty subtle. It comes from our own hurts. It comes from our own expectations that have come short. And you'll know a political spirit because it asks a question that uncovers someone else. And when you're angry with that person and someone asks that question, you're like, ooh, I want to go there because I want to answer that question. I want to give them my opinion so we can both pray about it. And what you create are what I call false friends. You create friends, but it's based on the demise of someone else's soul. No false friends in this next season. No false friends. No connections based on a political spirit. Don't do it. Paul talks about the lack of wisdom when we have a comparison, that aspect of comparison. with worship leaders, they have to, when they're comfortable with who they are, they excel into who they're supposed to be. When these guys are at rest knowing that they're loved, I'll just be honest, when they know they're loved, they are the best of who they'll ever be. Are they loved? Yeah. Well, tell them they're loved. All right, John, stand up right up here. Right up here, just a second. Okay, one at a time, real loud, just tell, why is he great? Why are they great? She's not here, but she is. Why are they great? No, yell it out. Go ahead, go. Lovers of God. I love it. Yes. A heart for family. Sweet. They're Dutch. Heart for worship. What was that? Approachable. Oh, is that huge? Oh, man. Leadership that's approachable. I love it. That's what I love about these guys. It was just so easy. Hey, Chris, how you doing? Hey, come on. Watch some football. I went, you're kidding. I love you, Steve. I don't know you, but I love. That's what you did the first time we did. I went back to your house and we watched football. Yeah, you may have to use that to cover yourself because I'm spitting all over you. Sorry about that. Give him a hand again. Four out of five, number four. See, the relationships are like a garden that needs to be tended. Oh, yeah, I see your garden. Oh, yeah. You got a lot of weeds. No. You weed your own garden and you water someone else's garden. Okay? Never, ever enter anybody's garden. You can water from a distance. Don't enter their garden. You can water from a distance. Okay? Don't go in there weeding their stuff. Don't go in there accidentally stepping on their flowers. Oh, gosh. You know, and here's what happens. We love to rejoice or to weep with those that weep. But I found that Christians are not the greatest at rejoicing when others are rejoicing. And this is the scenario. This is what it looks like. Oh, it's so wonderful. I have the CD. Actually, this is actually what happened recently to someone, to me. Oh, I want to tell you about the... never mind. I said, what? He said, no. I said, what's wrong? He said, well, it's just something really good that happened. Well, then tell me. He said, well, no, the last person, I depressed them. I said, well, what did you tell somebody in a store? That, no, it was one of my dear friends. Oh, so in other words, within that friendship is competition. And when you don't do well, I feel good. And then I come around you. And I look good. And I'm strong. And I weep with those that weep. But now you're doing really well. Yeah, you're really doing well. Better I'm doing. Idiot. You're not even worthy for any of that. Surely should be me. On the inside, you're saying all this. On the outside, you're going, oh, God bless you. Or they say down south, oh, bless your heart. Which means so many things. Well, I'm so glad you're doing great. I'm going to continue that God continues that. Oh, God. Why can't I be great? Gosh. There's too many. That's why. Okay, I'm going to give you. Number six, open your home and break bread. Have people in your home that eat your food. I love restaurants. I've eaten at 2,300,754 restaurants. Say, wow, I wish I had that life. The best cook I know, Laura Dupre. I'm absolutely serious. Best cook I know. Oh, who's that? That's my wife. We sit around our table for 1, 2, 3 hours with just our family, our kids, our grandkids. That is the place that my kids love the most, is when we are around our table, and we will be there for hours laughing, having joyful times. People see pictures on your wall and they realize, oh, you like that? Oh, yeah, yeah. Ansel Adams, I love that. I do too, but I never would have known it my entire life, unless I've been in your home to see the pictures on your wall, to see the kind of furniture you have. What's relaxing for you? What do you enjoy? I need to find out in your heart. Part of it is here, but part of your heart is in your home, and I'll never know it until I'm in it. Well, I want to get in Steve's home then. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Open your home and have people in. Oh, well, I have Steve and Sandra over then. No, just go after people. Find someone that you want to say, I love you because, or I appreciate you because. Open your home, break bread, give them more than bread. Find out what they love. Find out what they love. Recently went to somebody's house. This really did happen. She said, what do you like? I said, well, really, there's two things. I'll eat them. But Indian food and Mexican food, I get them everywhere I go. Just, I want to, whatever you want to do, I just... They're not my favorites. I enjoy them. I can get through them, but otherwise, anything. So I get there, and it's a mixture of Indian and Mexican food. It's like, shoo, you know, McFly, was anyone home when we talked? When you sent the email and said, what would you like? You know, so find out what they like. And then, thank you. Last point. Create a world where people can come and go as God leads them. Let this place be the most open place for people to come and to be here. But when they go, don't turn them into I wonder if they were ever really saved. Oh, I know places. When people leave, they're leaving because They're in a bad place. Yeah, they couldn't submit. They didn't see it. They didn't have the understanding. They didn't, you know what? God's got a pretty big family. He's not that concerned as we are about how people should be controlled. Okay? Leadership is not ownership. Okay? That's what I love about this place. Leadership is not ownership. And yes, I'm speaking at it from a larger viewpoint, but I'm also saying in your life, allow people to come into it and enjoy the season that God gives you during that time. And when God says, oh, we're moving to Tupelo, Mississippi, you're what? I'm taking a job as an IT, IT guy down there. No, this is what God's doing here. No, you're not supposed to go there. You're not a Mississippi person. Well, I am if God wants me to. No, God's got into that. What are you thinking? And we go counter to the will of God because of, part of it is because of love. But part of it is because of we want to control the love that surrounds us and how it surrounds us and affects us. And we need to release that love into people and give them freedom to move and to go as God says. Listen, Catch the Fire has a rich, rich heritage. But if it only has a heritage, it's a museum. Don't be a place that just puts things up. You're not. That's what I love. That's what I love about these guys is that after so many years, they could just say, we're in this really neat primo spot. We can just ride this puppy out. And the Lord's saying, no, I want you to give away authority. I want you to give away honor and give away blessing. Because when you do that, when God begins to say that, I get excited. Because that means it's coming my way. Well, I thought that was a good point. Okay, let me end with a scripture from Ephesians, and then I'll give it to his most holy Reverend Steve. We can't go home again. We know that. I've gone back to my hometown, little town, upstate New York, Marion, New York, 30 miles east of Rochester. I've gone back there. I went back to my old house, drove up to it, 35 Buffalo Street, Marion, New York. I went up there, walked out of my car. This little woman stands in front of the window because I'm parked in front of it. And she grabs her young daughter. She pulls her daughter and holds her close. And I'm walking towards the house, and she starts to back off. And I go, oh, my gosh, I'm scaring the life out of this poor woman. All I want to do is look at my old house. I can't even, literally, I can't go back home again. I don't want to scare her. And so we have to move forward, but we can create a place in the next season for how God dwells. Listen to this scripture. It's from Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to read 19 to 22. And boy, how it ends is so beautiful. Therefore, you're no longer strangers. Don't be a stranger. If you're here before a year and you still don't know anybody, it's not the other 2,000 people's fault. Trust me. Okay? I know, but be more pastoral, Chris. All right. Get over it. There you go. Okay. But your fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, you've been built on the foundation of the apostle and prophets, Jesus himself, the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building is now fitted together to grow into a holy temple in the Lord. Here it is, verse 22. You are also being built together for God to come in as a dwelling place by his Spirit. You are being built together for God to come and dwell by his Spirit. The importance of our togetherness, the importance of our love that we have together, the importance of the seriousness that we take, the next step that we have. But it's not just to do for God. Oh, don't be a doer for God. Already be at rest knowing that you're loved so that you can, out of that rest, love someone else. Don't wait for love to come. Give it away. Put love candy in your pocket and give his affection away because he is desiring to dwell in this place in a whole new way to come, and he can't wait. Amen.